It's always good to start at the beginning. So we had the reading from Mark 2, but can I get you to go back to Mark chapter 1 and the very first sentence there? The reason why is it's good to start at the beginning, and then we'll work our way to that passage that was read to us, and it'll help us give us context to that story. And it's an incredible story of Jesus calling Levi, probably the ultimate odd couple. It's a good news story for him, and God willing, and hopefully it'll be a good news story for us. So Mark chapter 1, verse 1 is where we're going to start. My friends, we could all do with a little good news. In the world today, we could all do with a little good news. Maybe at your work. Maybe there's something happening at your work. There's tension, there's strife, there's politics. Maybe there's something happening in your family. Maybe there's something happening with your parents or between siblings or between an auntie and an uncle. Maybe there's something happening at uni or school. Maybe there's something between you and your friends. Maybe there's something with your health. Or in the world today, as we turn on the TV every morning, it seems to have changed. We could all do with a little good news. Well, the good news is that there is good news. In a bad news world, Jesus is good news. And so look at that very first sentence of Mark. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus is good news. He's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, but he is good news. This good news is about him. Good news isn't just a theory. Jesus didn't come to just talk about it. Jesus came to be the good news. It is of him. It is about him. Jesus came to bring and to be good news. And he calls people to get on board with it. He doesn't want people just to talk about it or put it aside. He says, the good news is here. Get on board with it. So jump to verse 14. Verse 15. Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So who is Jesus? He is the good news. And he says, get on board with me. I am good news. Repent and believe in me. I've come to bring God's kingdom. Repent and believe. Get on board with me. Because to repent is to just turn your life away from the world or yourself and to point it at him, to follow him. And so in a bad news world, God sent Jesus so that we could receive and believe the good news, to get on board with him. And if you read the Gospels, that's exactly what happens. Everywhere he goes, he draws a crowd. Because they're amazed by the things he says and amazed by the things he does. He's a master teacher and a master healer. Wherever he is, it's good news. Demons and disease depart and new life is born. Wherever he is, the outsiders are brought in. Wherever he is, the unclean are made clean. Wherever he is, it is good times because he's good news and people get on board with him. Because that's the first thing you do with good news. You receive it. You grab it. You take two hands and you bring it to yourself. That is the first thing you do with good news. You receive it. The second thing you do with good news is that you share it. You gladly share it to someone. A wedding, a birth, a graduation. You receive good news and you share it. That is what you do with it. I mean, if I was to tell you that around the corner there was a warehouse full of toilet paper that was to be freely distributed to you all, you would gladly receive that good news. You wouldn't keep it to yourself, would you?
mate.
No, you wouldn't, would you? You would share that news. Surely you would share that news to those who are vulnerable, to those who are in need, to your family and friends. And so, my friends, when it comes to good news, you receive it and you share it. You receive and share. And in this story, in Mark chapter 2, we're going to see someone who does both. They receive it and they share it. They take it to heart and they share it with others. And so, my friends, for us today, let's do the same. Let's be like him. Because in this crazy world, we could all do with a little good news. Well, the good news is that there is good news. The good news is Jesus. It is him. And so, jump to Mark chapter 2. Verse 13, we're going to now start looking at this story. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. And on this particular day, Jesus is down by this Lake Galilee. That is a picture of Lake Galilee in Israel. On that day, the good news went there. And a large crowd is following Jesus. So picture Jesus at the front and the large crowd following him. Now, have you ever been on a bus and the driver slams on the brakes and everybody's standing up, just goes boom, 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 boom? I reckon the same thing happened on this day at this lake. Jesus is walking along, the crowd behind him, and then he slams on the brakes to talk to someone, and everyone's going, doo, doo, doo. What the? Why is he talking to him? Why on earth did he stop to talk to him? Look at who he talked to. Verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. And so I imagine everyone stopping. Why on earth did you stop to talk to him? Now let me tell you about him. And I want you to imagine the things people would have thought about him, the things that people would have said to him. Now, Levi, he's working on the lake. Now, Lake Galilee was on a trade route. People would have been going through, conducting business, going from one area to another. And so, therefore, as a tax collector, he would have been paying, collecting their taxes, like collecting their tolls on the M7. No one likes paying tolls, do they? Every time you go through a toll, you go, it's gone up another 50 cents. And where does that money go to? It doesn't go anywhere. You know where Levi's money's going to? It's going into his back pocket. You see, he was working for the Romans, and the deal with the Romans would have been, hey, listen, Levi, as long as we get our share, we really don't care how much you collect. So if the Romans said, give us 10, Levi would have gone, oh, cool, maybe I can charge 15. Or maybe I can charge 20 and pocket the rest. People don't like being ripped off, do they? And because he worked for the Romans, he was seen as a traitor. How could you work for them? No one likes a traitor. How could you work for them? They invaded us. They are ruling over us. How could you work for them? It gets better or worse. Because he's working by the lake, not only is he collecting taxes from people going by, he would have also been collecting taxes from the locals, the local fishermen doing their work. He would have been down at the wharf collecting taxes of them. People don't like paying taxes, do they? But wait, there's more. Because of all this, because of what Levi was doing, he was therefore barred from religious life. In the community, he wasn't allowed to attend feasts or festivals, kicked out of the temple and the synagogue. Tax collectors were considered unclean because those religious types would have been going, there's no way God would love you. We can't have people like you in here. We can't have them in here. And so this is Levi. You can imagine what people would have thought of him. You can imagine what people would have said to him. What does Jesus say to him? Levi, you tax collecting, toll collecting, rip off trader, unclean so and so. Hey, you, follow me. Levi, you scumbag, you dirty, you backstabber, you traitor, you... Oh, follow me. Can you imagine how he would have felt hearing those two words? I'm guessing he would have been amazed, because instead of receiving the usual condemnation, he receives an invitation. And for the first time in forever, he's called to be part of something. Get on board. Follow me. And so in those two words, Jesus does two things. Firstly, he changes a life. My friends, you can change a life with just two words. Jesus has just changed Levi's. The second thing he does is that that ought to change how we see others. I mean, we form all sorts of opinions and attitudes towards others. We can look down at some and look up to others. And that's just such a human way of doing things. The kingdom way of doing things is quite different. And Jesus calls us to look at others how he looks at them. Follow me. Two words changed Levi's life. Two words ought to change how we see others. And so Levi receives this good news. Look what it says, verse 14 again. Levi, son of a, sitting at the tax collector's booth, follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. He receives the good news and he follows him. And then when you receive it, what do you do with the good news? You share it. He receives and he shares. He's invited. Now he becomes an inviter. Verse 15. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. That's an interesting dinner party. And so you've got other tax collectors there. I'm guessing these guys were like a closed Facebook group. Since nobody else was going to be their friend, well, they'll just be friends amongst themselves. And Levi would have said to his mates, come for dinner. I've got good news for you. He talked to me. He said, follow me. And his friends would have gone, are you serious? And so this tight group of tax collectors would have gone, we're coming over. Thank you for sharing the good news with us. So the tax collectors there. And you'll notice that it also says tax collectors and sinners. Now, the tax collectors are sinners. So who are these sinners? Who are these other group? Well, it would have been people whom the religious establishment, they in their thinking would have declared, you're unclean. And so it would have been people like prostitutes. It would have been people like shepherds because they handled animals. They go, you guys are unclean. It would have also been people like the disabled. They would have seen the disabled as, surely you've done something wrong. Surely God is punishing you. Surely we can't have you in here. Surely you are unclean. Who would be modern day equivalents of sinners? Politicians, CEOs of a bank, those two Bulldogs players. You and I have got an idea of who we think, oh, they're unclean. They're sinners. And so at this dinner party, you've got tax collectors and you've got sinners. And there's another group, you've got Jesus' disciples. They're fishermen by trade, largely. So these guys aren't up here on the social status. They've got zero Instagram followers. They're right down here. These guys are blue collar. And so, my friends, at this dinner party, there's no celebs. It's just full of plebs. There's no glamours here. This is a bunch of losers. But who's in the middle? Who has brought them together? Who is at their center? Jesus, who said, follow me. Jesus brings people together. Jesus brings outsiders in. Jesus makes the unclean clean. Jesus makes good times because he's good news. But the religious rulers, they think, this is crazy. This isn't good. This is bad. Rather than thinking, oh, maybe this is what we should do. Is this Jesus? Is this really what God wants us to do? They think the absolute opposite, because they think in their eyes, no self-respecting rabbi or religious person should be seen with them. Because it looks like as if Jesus is at home with them. You know, us pastors, we don't eat and drink with people like this. We eat and drink with leaders. I had lunch with a leader. I met up with one of my leaders. I had coffee with my leader, with leaders. It's not often that we get together with losers. So how can Jesus be seen with them? How on earth? I remember my mum, whenever some of my mates would come home in high school, my mum would just turn up her nose and she would say to me, Costa, aren't you ashamed? Aren't you ashamed to be seen with them? When they'd walk in through the door, she'd speak English to them. Oh, hello, hello. But then she'd start talking Greek so they wouldn't understand. Look at his hair. Look, he's wearing an earring. Look at how he's dressed. Doesn't he bring shame on his mother? Costa, how could you bring them into my house? Shame on you. In the same way, these religious rulers can't believe Jesus is eating and drinking with them. Shame on you. You're meant to avoid shame. It's as if you're embracing it, Jesus. But here's the thing about this dinner party. This dinner party shouldn't shock the religious rulers. It shouldn't be amazing to them. And the reason why is because if only they had picked up their Bibles, they would read stories of God hanging out with sinners. We read stories of Abraham the liar, Rahab the prostitute, David the adulterer, David the murderer. We call them heroes of the Bible. No, no, no. God is the hero. Because God has always brought outsiders in. God has always made the unclean clean. God has always brought people to himself, made them right with himself. And so this party shouldn't surprise the religious rulers. God has always been like this. And it's no surprise that Jesus, the Son of God, will do the same. Verse 17, on hearing this, hearing why does he eat? Verse 17, Jesus says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is saying, I am the good doctor, and I have come to make people right with God. That is why I have been sent. Now, my friends, what is it that makes you go to the doctor? If you're sick, what is it that actually makes you go? It's that realization that you need to go. You see, men, we don't go. We just cough and splutter. And the women in our life go, just go. No, I'll be right. And the women go, just go. No, no, I'll be right. Because men go, no, I don't need to go. And then 4 weeks later, you go and go, oh, and you feel better. You should go. These people go because they know they need Dr. Jesus. That's why they've come to this dinner party. They go because they know they need the good doctor. They know that he is their remedy. And he's our remedy too. Because when Jesus says, I have come to call sinners, well, who's that? That's us. That's everybody. That is the world. Because people can't make themselves healthy before God. Not you, not me, not them. We can't be made well through our own efforts. You know, by nature, we are like Levi by the lake. We are outsiders. We are unclean. we need to be made right with God. By nature, we are like Levi by the lake. And so therefore, our greatest need isn't immunity from sickness. Our greatest need is restoration of a relationship with God. And the good news is that there is good news. God sent Jesus to make us right with God. Again, when you go to the doctor scribbles on a piece of paper, gives you something to take away your pain. Jesus gave himself to take away our sin. And on the cross, he bore our shame. Whatever was due for us, he took it upon himself. And where sin and shame have been removed, well, that's when new life takes hold. And God raised him from the dead so that we could receive new life, so that we could follow him. If Jesus is still in the grave, well, we can't follow him because he is alive today. We can follow him. And so this story by the lake and at this dinner party, it's not just this random story. It actually harks back to that very first sentence. Jesus is good news. He brings good news to anyone and everyone. This story is an illustration of the gospel. It points forward to the death and resurrection of Jesus, because he is the good news, because he is the good doctor. He is our remedy. And so what do you do with this news? How ought we to live it out? Well, firstly, make sure you're following Jesus. Make sure your faith and trust is in him. That is, repent and believe. If there's anyone here who's not sure who Jesus is, if there's anyone here who thinks, oh, I just need to do a few good things and that's all, repent and believe in him. Follow him. Come to Dr. Jesus and be made right with him. Any guilt, any shame that you may be feeling can be forgiven in him. If you feel like Levi, hear what Jesus said to him, follow me. That's the first way to live out this story. A second way to live out this story is to recognize there's actually another group of people who really need to repent and believe as well. It's not just them, it's us. It's those who declare they follow him. You see, we need to line up our thinking with Jesus. We've got our own opinions and attitudes. We form them about people. We need to repent of that and believe what Jesus believes. See people as he sees. Therefore, we need to change our thinking of others and see how Jesus looks at others. You see, our idea of others can be really tight. These are my circle of friends. Jesus' idea of others is really broad. Religious people operate in tight circles. Relational people broaden their horizons. Religious people look inward. This is us. Relational people think of others. Be relational, not religious. Be like Jesus. Conform your idea of others to him. You may have to repent of that. That family member, that person you work with, that uni or school friend, your neighbor, how you see them, you may need to repent of that and see them as Jesus sees them. And this is a great way of honoring God, by thinking of others as Jesus does, and to eat and drink with them. Third and final way to live this out is to invite others. Just as Levi was invited, he invited others. And so, my friends, be a church that does the same. Be an invited inviter. Invite that family member who you say, oh, their heart is so hard. They don't like us talking about religion. Invite that atheist. Nah, they're too far from God. Invite that friend who is so anti. That work colleague who you think, nah. Think of Jesus who invited Levi. In the eyes of the world, people would have gone, nah, not him. He's so far from God. Jesus upends that thinking. You have been invited. Therefore, invite others, because you just might change their life. And in a bad news world, we could all do with some little good news. And the good news is that there is good news. And it's the good news of Jesus. And so therefore, just as you have received it, share it. Just as you have received the good news, share it with others. Particularly today, as you go about your day, if you get the opportunity to eat and drink with others, share the good news today. I'm going to pray and we'll finish up. Dear God, thank you for Jesus, who you sent to be good news in this bad news world. So help us to see others as Jesus sees them. Help us to be like him. Help us to repent of the way that we do see others, earthly and human ways. Thank you that in him there is new life. Thank you that in him we have been brought in. Thank you that in him we have been made clean. This is good news for us, and it is good news for them. So help us to invite them. Help us to receive the good news and to share it with others. Amen.